Like whitecaps at the Jersey Shore, whistleblower complaints keep washing up, only to crash and dissipate on the sand. We checked in with one of Washington's leading whistleblower lawyers, Lynn Barnaby of Barnaby & Wachtell. Speaking with Federal News Radio's Tom Temin, he asked her, in light of outcomes of Veterans Affairs whistleblowers and recent legislation, are conditions getting any better or worse for federal whistleblowers?
I think overall they're probably worse. While some protections in some areas are increasing, legal protections, there's an overall sort of systemic attack on federal employees that I think will disproportionately affect whistleblowers. For example, there's legislation now, or there's enacted in the authorization bill that increased the probationary period to 2 years for DOD employees, which, of course, is the biggest federal agency, and that will mean that there's no whistleblowers in the first 2 years of their employment. That may expand greater. There's a bill that hasn't been enacted but reported out of committee that would eliminate protections for SES employees. And then there's increasing Inspector General investigations of whistleblowers, which I think is now created other forms of harassment and adverse action that didn't exist before.
I want to get back to that, but first I wanted to ask you, it sounds as if you're saying that legislation unrelated to whistleblowing, such as longer probation for SESers, for example,
has DOD.
Within DOD. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would have the effect of depressing whistleblowing activity as a kind of side benefit or side, I guess, damage from that type of move.
Exactly, because you don't have whistleblower protections during your probationary period. And there's also additional legislation to extend their probationary period even longer, to not include any training period, which could extend up to 2 years. So Congress is looking to remove the whistleblowing and other protections afforded federal employees during this probationary period.
But what about the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act? That's barely dry, the ink from it.
Yes. What I think is going on, and talking to other whistleblower lawyers, I think they agree, is that while the protections are getting greater, the backlash is also getting greater. So while people, you know, have a better standard of proof, there's an improving Merit Systems Protection Board, OSC, while, you know, totally understaffed, is doing better than it used to, there's a big backlash from agencies, just as in private industry. And so there's more IG investigations to get whistleblowers out. The IGs, from the reports we looked at to the Council of the President, the IG Council that reports to the President, they're less effective. Management is increasingly rejecting their findings. So overall, there's a backlash against the increased protection, such that there's a general feeling that there's fewer protections now for whistleblowers.
And the Office of Special Counsel recently withdrew a proposed rule that would have extended whistleblower protection to certain contractors connected possibly with national security, and they ended up nixing that.
Right.
What's your thought on that maneuver?
Well, this is a very difficult area. I mean, national security whistleblowers essentially have no protection. I mean, they have a few little ways they can go, report to the IG, report in certain circumstances to OSC, but ultimately management can quash them, and that's what they do. So ultimately, national security whistleblowers, despite the extensive efforts to get some protections for them, don't have any protections. And I think it's a dangerous situation because when people don't have protections in the system, then they go outside the system.
And, of course, national security is a very, very broad word covering a lot of agencies.
That's absolutely right, increasingly so.
You could almost say that half the federal workforce could be classified as national security if you include the DOD civilians.
Oh, a very high percentage is, and a very high percentage of people involved in national security are contractors. I mean, I think the last look at this, there were more contractors working in the national security area and surveillance area than government employees.
We're speaking with Lynn Barnaby. She's a principal at the law firm Barnaby & Wachtell that specializes in some of these cases. And I also wanted to ask you about a case that has been going on for some time that in some way brings all of this together, mm-hmm. and that is someone who was an IG at DISA.
Right, Jimmy Soans.
Jimmy Soans, yeah. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, Jimmy Soans is a 37-year veteran of the Department of Defense, and he was in a comptroller role and found a significant Anti-Deficiencies Act violation, you know, back about 3 years ago. And what he's been on an odyssey throughout the Department of Defense and retaliated against it every turn, and has not, even though he has terrific evidence, has not been able to you know, to get any traction in trying to remedy these issues. And what happened to him is one of his early involuntary transfers was to the position of IG, where he confirmed that the accounting methods used to get rid of this or to deal with this Anti-Deficiencies Act violation were improper. Instead of dealing with the issue, the IG found that he had a conflict he shouldn't have been dealing with it. So they covered up the problem, essentially.
Well, it's so odd to move someone who found financial impropriety to a IG position, to an inspector general position, because that's what IGs are supposed to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Why would he be put in that position unless he had the full range of authority? And he was at the top of the SES schedule. He was SES Tier 3, which means he has a wide range, a wide spectrum of responsibility across functions.
And I guess the interesting latest development, well, it's almost a year ago now, but two senators, one from each side of the aisle, Chuck Grassley, Mark Warner, asked the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, to look into it, and you are saying that the escalation took place of the retaliation after that intervention by two senators.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, he was detailed outside the agency, and the retaliation actually increased once they knew that the two senators had written or were writing to the Department of Defense. And they basically got no answer still from the Department of Defense.
And so at what point does the Office of Special Counsel get involved in a case like this?
The Office of Special Counsel is in the process of doing an investigation. I think, given their workload, they're very backlogged. But you know, we're hopeful that through congressional pressure, they will you know, try to expedite this. It's been going on for 3 years now, and you know, it's business as usual. The Department of Defense, they still haven't dealt with these problems.
And you know, zooming back out to the larger issue of whistleblowers and OSC. You could say they did a great job, if you're a whistleblower, that is, or tend to side with whistleblowers, in the whole VA investigation over the last 18 months. There have been a lot of really big cases and big resolutions.
Yes, I mean, that was a big success. And, you know, I think the problem is resources, and they only have, they only investigate 10% of the cases. So that, and those take many, many years. So unless something is of interest to Congress, and I'm not talking now about the Oversight Committee, but about Congress in general, you know, across party lines, it's very hard for them to put enough resources to adequately investigate these cases. And, you know, I think they're an understaffed agency, and I continue to believe that there should be other remedies available to whistleblowers because this, you know, small agency can't do it all.
Well, let me run this hypothesis by you. Maybe the difference for when these cases get resolved in a good way is whether there's a lot of public interest, because say you bring to the public's attention something about anti-deficiency and spending money they don't have, the average member of the public says, well, heck, they spend $2 trillion every year they don't have. That's why we've got such big deficits. So what's new there? But in the case of VA, you had veterans, real flesh and blood people, getting harmed by what was going on there. Could that be the difference in how those different whistleblower cases get resolved?
I think, how do I say this? I think it's the agency's, and DOD in particular, sophistication in hiding these problems. I think there are costs to, you know, paying contractors money that they shouldn't be paid. And the costs are that the money don't go to the veterans. The money doesn't go to the soldiers. The money doesn't go to equipment they need. So there's serious costs to giving contractors money for work they haven't done or they don't deserve. And those hidden costs are borne by the, you know, men and women in the armed forces. And so I think, you know, a lot of this, you know, while it looks like numbers, has very serious repercussions for, you know, military personnel and for the military mission.
And so it's a continuing uphill battle for people like you that are that defend and try to prosecute the cases on behalf of these people. You're going to keep going despite all of these setbacks?
Yes, we are. We, like the whistleblowers we represent, are very hard-headed, and we think, you know, ultimately, if we prevail, the public will know that this was the right thing to do, and these problems have to be fixed.
Lynn Barnaby is principal at Barnaby and Wachtell, speaking there with Federal News Radio's Tom Temin. You can share this interview with your colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, and just click Share with Friends.